one who is set apart from the world, one who is in the world but that is not of the world, one who does not look like the world, one who looks like the light of the world. Oh, so God, today I just pray, Lord, that you would just instill into this body, Lord, the heart of what this body is and what this body represents. And that is one who has a heart that is in the world, but that is not of the world. One who desires to be the light of the world, because you are in us, God, the light. Lord, stir that desire in us and teach us how to walk it out. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just want to fall so deeply in love with you today. Just new and afresh. As we're here as one body, Lord, just lifting each other up and strengthening one another today so that we can go out and stand. We need each other, church. We need each other. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh. Thank you, Lord. You are so good, God. You are so worthy, 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 Lord. Oh. Lord, we want a taste of your goodness today. We want to see your goodness today. We want to recognize you in our lives and turn it into praise, God. Because you are truly everything that we need. You are even the praise on our lips. Oh, God, we can't do it alone. Oh, yes, Lord. We just lift you up, God. We lift you up. We lift you up.
Us to love in a greater depth today. You want to renew a right spirit in us and put fire in our belly and fire in our bones. And your love is sweeter and greater than anything we could ever taste, ask for, or imagine. And you're looking for that deep, deep intimacy with you. Not counterfeit intimacy, but deep closeness, intimacy, intimacy. That's what you're doing right now, drawing us right now into your heart, drawing us right now to your table, wrapping your arms around us, and letting us know that we're your chosen ones, we're your kids, we're your loved ones. You're our big daddy. You're the big daddy. Hey. Oh, Rabashikara Yandaravasa. Your sweet love is here. Your sweet presence is just enveloping us, Lord, as a beautiful blanket of heartfelt peace, joy, and affection. Just infusing us, just dripping, dripping, dripping right into us. The IV of love. You're just our IV. The real IV. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We are those who carry the big guns. We are those, Lord. We are those because of you who build, who facilitate, who advance, because we're so wrapped in your arms of love. We're so wrapped up in you, we can't do anything but that. Thank you, Lord. Wow. We are your sweet aroma. Hey. Lord, we're your restorers. We're your ministers of reconciliation. That's who we are because that's how you see us. That's who we are. Just tell him, Daddy, that's who I am. That's who I am. Ho! That's who I am. I step into it. I step into your arms wide open. That's what love looks like. Arms wide open. Ow. Arms wide open. That's what you did at the cross. And the grave couldn't hold you. That's our resurrection, Daddy. Just agree with what he says. He says, you're mine. My eyes are on you. I have redeemed you. You are mine. I've called you by name. Do not fear, little one. Do not fear. I have purchased you. I have reconciled you. I have apprehended you. I have set you free. That's who I am. Do not fear. Do not fear. You shall love me because I designed you that way. You shall love me above all. I designed you to be a container of my heart and love, a habitation for me. Place of peace, a place where the kingdom of mine reigns, because I am the kingdom. That's who you are, beloved. Step into who you are. Step in. Greater, greater places of stepping. Deeper, deeper wells. Let the well of his presence just come and bubble up right now. The inside. In that place, there is no fear. There is no hopelessness. There is no sickness. There is nothing but him. Hey, you are our well, Daddy. Big Daddy. Wow. Wow. You are the fire that consumes us. We open our hearts to you right now. Come in to those places we don't see. Come in right now. Burn them up, Papa. Thank you. You're so good. 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 So good. Ooh. Just picture in your heart right now, in your mind's eye, the goodness of God. I don't know what you'll see. Just say, Lord, I want to see your goodness. Just say that. I want to see your goodness. Close your eyes. I want to see your goodness. I want to see your goodness. Oh. Oh. Oh, Daddy, I want that new wineskin. So you can pour in the new wine. I want that new wineskin. Keep pouring, Daddy. Keep pouring. Oh. Oh. The new wine is good. Shanda yandaravara dakata tatsasi. Don't be distracted, little one. Oh, there are many foxes. Keep your eyes on me. Many crows that want to eat away the seed. Keep your eyes on me. I am your garden, and I'm watering you right now.
Hey! Whoa! Hey! Mmm. Pura basha in that guy.
Wow. Whoa. Yay. Joe. Yes, Lord. In the garden of your heart, and you're watering me, and you're in my garden too. Who can figure? How? Oh. In you are pleasures forevermore. And in you I find pleasure. And I'm your pleasure. I am your pleasure, Daddy. Oh! Oh! You adore me. You love me. Shika. Oh, rabaradako yande shika rabaza. Bust through the lie that says it's not true. Thank you, Daddy. Shirabaradakondo datashi. Oh, rabaradada. Taste and see. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, just feel him close. Hey, you know, Christy was speaking about a Nazarite heart. Oh. And I was just so blessed and so pleased because the Lord has so rained that message in our hearts in this season, because he's calling forth, ho, those who are wholly consecrated and set apart. Is it you? Is it me? Ho. Oh, shorabaradakeshi. Who will walk my highway of holiness? Who will be the one, or the two, or the 10,000? Is it you? My eyes are on you. Hey, ho, ho. Nazarite spirit comes from you, Papa. It's the flame from heaven that lights up our heart with a blazing inferno that knows no end, that is compelled by love. Oh, that is moved by love, that is controlled by love, the scripture says in Corinthians. Oh, Lord, your love is a controlling power. Oh, shake out of a Sunday. Hey, reach out and say, that's me. Reach out and agree and declare and decree, that's me. Reach out and agree, I'm here, Papa. That's who I am, because you say so. Oh! Sherabaradakoye, da 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 shande. Sokayandaraba, little ones, that's for you. We're all his little ones. Hey! Shekarabaradai wants nothing to stop us, nothing to hinder us. Oh! Oh! Daniel was a Nazarite. He had a Nazarite heart. And in Daniel 1:8, oh! The scripture says that Daniel purposed in his heart and made up his mind, oh! To receive that flame, oh! Shokarabaradase! Sandiandarabarada koriande shiki! Ho! Oh! Flame of God is here! Ho! Fire of God is here! Shana na 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 na! Wow! Na 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 shiki! Thank you, Papa! Yes, Lord, we say yes to you! Lord! And the debris and the distraction moves out in this season, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for caring so much that I wouldn't miss it. So na 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 ye. Sorry, andarabaradako. Wow. Will you be a container for my Nazarite heart? Will you be a container for my Nazarite flame? Will you be a place of habitation for me? That you are consecrated to me and me alone. Who? Ah. Wow. Wow, it's the only safe place. It's the only safe place. It's the place where fear cannot rule. Hey! It's the place where fear cannot rule. It's the place where fear cannot rule. And where heavenly wisdom falls. Shekarabarayande. Sikarabaradasa. Oh. Oh. Hey. Mmm. Oh. Oh. Hey. Wow. Wow. Whoa. Hey. You know, with the Nazarite heart and the Nazarite consecration, with the Nazarite anointing, Nazarite flame, the Lord is saying he's doing a new thing in each one of us today, but it's not new to him. Daniel lived long before Jesus, but there are many, many who were set apart in Old Testament times for the purposes of God. And he's looking for us in this season. Will you be part of that purpose in this season? Overseas this summer in Mozambique and in Ghana, both teams got a good fat download. Ho! About this. Christy wasn't there. She didn't know. I was so blessed to hear that. That the Lord's been speaking to you because he's speaking to all. And he's so, so serious. And I love to say that because it makes me smile. When I say he's so serious, I start giggling inside. Because when God's serious, love shows up, and it's the greatest power. And in him, and in that place, there is no confusion. Oh, there's no confusion. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Wow. So I may be preaching about that real soon again. You get to hear it again. Ha! But today, he's given me a direction that ties in with that. But wow. You know, it's not something new under the sun. You can go to a website and go, wow, somebody's finally figured this out. God has been calling us all along. And he's saying, I'm ready to do a new thing. And I'm ready for a download in you that's going to release my heavenly power in a new place. I want to teach you something right now. And children, I want you to hear it if you're able. All children. Hey. Yeah, so if they're talking, they need to just chill for a minute. Isaiah 11, 1 through 3 is so powerful. The Lord was speaking to me during worship about this, okay? Because the Lord wants us to know Holy Spirit so well, and we will release the kids. Don't worry, kiddos. But I just want to dump this little blessing on you, okay? Because it ties in with where I believe he wants us to go. But Isaiah 11, 1 through 3 is just wonderful. I need my Bible. Get your Bible, please, if you would. Get your Bible. And before the kiddies go, get your Bible. Let's look at this. It's so good. And I want you to speak about it at your dinner table. And talk to your kids. And talk to your parents. And talk to the neighbors about all the things you're going to hear this morning. I really think it's good. It's so powerful. You know, God says, train up your children in the way they will go and they will not depart from it. That can become a law, you know. But God says, that's my love request. And so let's do that. Let's talk with each other. Hey, what did you think about Sunday? What did you think about Isaiah 11, 1 through 3? Get your Bibles. It's good stuff. I want to open with this. Wow. Yee karabasha. Ha. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I gotta find it. I know he's in here. Okay. All right. Isaiah 11. Can y'all, are y'all tuned in? Who's not tuned in yet? Because you're, you know, you've got jobs to do. You know, just a second. Get your Bible. Get your Bible. If you're a child, go sit with your parents. It's cool. You want to hear this. It's like God speaking. Not like he is. Okay. It says, ha, 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 ha. Then a shoot will spring up from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. This is about Jesus. But this is a picture of the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, children. Holy Spirit. And drive this home in focus group leaders, please, and everything else you're going to hear. The Spirit of the Lord. Verse 2. The Spirit of there goes the wind. Thank you, angels. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and strength or might. Then the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. I'm going to say it again. And the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord. That's not minimizing the rest of that verse. Okay, but look at verse 3. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. The Lord is highlighting something here. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what his eyes see. He will make a decision by what his ears hear. Can I just impart that to you this morning to start? Let's look at that right now. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. Wow. You know that the spirit of counsel is directly from the heart of God, and it's actually, it provides a message of preparation in the season that God's just ready to blast with his power. Let me say that again. Did you catch that? Sometimes, you know, it's like, boom. Doesn't mean you're not smart. It just means I need to hear it again. But, you know, the spirit of counsel, which is part of Holy Spirit. This is a picture of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you say spirit of revelation come, you're saying Holy Spirit. But it's one aspect of him. Spirit of counsel is given and released. Now hear me, please. Oh, it's so good. When the Lord is just preparing the hearts and opening up and making a way of preparation for a release of power. What does that mean? When the Lord is speaking about the Spirit of God, Spirit of wisdom and power and revelation, understanding, might, fear of the Lord, he's saying, listen, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and his Spirit is a consuming fire that wants to come in and wreck us. Christy's getting that. Oh, thanks. You can hear it in my voice. Wow, that's cold. Woo! Thank you, Dylan. But hear what I'm saying. Daniel, chapter 1, read it. Our team's got a dose, didn't they? Didn't you? Daniel had the fear of God, the spirit of the fear of the Lord on him. And the very next verse, verse 9, talks, you don't have to go there right now, talks about how God released in Daniel, as Daniel had made up his mind and decided. Daniel made up his mind. Daniel decided. However, whatever your version says. I love that. Wow. God released favor and compassion. And I'll teach on it sometime because it's not the day. Daniel walked in the fear of God. He walked in the fear of the Lord. How can we walk in the fear of the Lord
really, fully, without understanding what it is, what that means, what it looks like. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Chew on this week, because I'm not going to spend much more time on Isaiah 11, 1 through 3. This is being recorded, isn't it, guys? Cool. All right, children, ciao to Kingdom World. Ho-ho. I want to highlight some things that are really going to be good. You know, Cynthia gave a real, okay, get ready for this one, bang! Last week, I listened to it, took notes, and was convicted for days. She's my spiritual daughter, because I'm convicted by the Spirit of God, and she spoke by the Spirit of God. Aha. Before you leave, can I encourage you, if you don't get this because you're out, listen to it again. And if you've not listen to it and take notes, and then sit before God and let Him challenge you. Because I believe this, that the Spirit of counsel was moving through her last Sunday powerfully. I mean, she said some things that Cynthia doesn't usually say. I'm getting in your face. Like, is that Cynthia? You may feel like it, and I am. It's like, wow, okay. But isn't this about love? Yeah, it was really loving, because God so dislikes distraction for us, because He wants us to be able to easily just feel those arms of love around us and not wonder, does He love me today? I don't feel it. I just want to scream. I just want to kill somebody, or maybe not that. I'm tired. I'm just discouraged. You know, all those things that we all do. Hello, I do them too. You know, we all do that. God doesn't want us to live like that. And He's about ready to do something, but He won't, you know, He's testing the waters. Do you know what I mean? He's saying, are you grabbing on to my love, what you're hearing? Are you willing? You know, all the challenges. If you weren't here last week, who was not here last week? And has not listened to it. Listen to it. Get it. Seriously, don't wait. Don't wait. You want wisdom from above? Get it. And then listen to this message again. Get them together. It'll be just like, woo. Why? Because I think God's up to something. I don't know. He does a lot of kind of strange things after we come back from missions. And I think what I think he's really doing is house cleaning. Okay, close your eyes. I've got a picture. I don't have building blocks or anything cool like that. I'm sorry. Cynthia did, I guess, and I don't have the props, and you know, you guys are so creative. But I have a picture. So close your eyes and catch this, okay? All right. Ha. This one's easy because it was my house. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, you don't have to picture my house. So picture a house where, you know, you've got some old beat up ratty furniture. They've been to my house. And, you know, stains everywhere on the floor. It's just, it's so incredibly gross. Well, in the picture in your mind. Okay. It's just, you know, picture a house that really is messy, looking to the eye, to the eye. And so you take a look at that and go, oh my, if someone would walk into that house, they would form an opinion of what, why is it like this? Because that's what we do, humans do. But God says, I want to render you opinionless. Oh my gosh, does that touch a nerve? Holy, oh wow, wow, wow. What do you mean by that? Everyone will wake up to that one. What do you mean I can't have an opinion? Aha, I hear control coming out. No, 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 no. Let me explain. I want you to listen to this. Now, as your eyes are closed, now you're seeing this place that doesn't look real slick, and this place that's pretty, pretty ratty looking. And you're wondering in your mind's eye or your heart, what's really happening? Why is it like this? Can they not afford something better? Do they not have any taste? Do they like living in a mess? You know, you go through the litany of questions, don't you? Bing, 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 bing. But God is saying in Isaiah 11, 1 through 3, he's saying, I don't want you to render a judgment. I don't want you to render a judgment based on what you see. I want you to hear from heaven. I want you to hear from me. Now, an unholy
opinion,
if you would, might think, well, you know, they probably have issues. They might have some issues going on, but, you know, that's them, so I just don't want to judge them. But, you know, God has a whole different way of looking at judgment than we do. He really does. And so when I was listening to Cynthia's message this week, you know, I was smiling because the Lord woke me up after 4 hours sleep, getting off the plane from Ghana. And so I'm pretty tired, you know, so it's like 6 a.m. And he woke me up and he started speaking to me. It's like, oh, you're God and I love you. You can open your eyes. You're God and I love you. But maybe I'll remember this. Go ahead, give it to me, God, and I'll wake up later. And you know how you do, you rationalize. And I just sensed, you need to write this down because this is from heaven. It's like, thank you, Lord, you chose me and you're stretching me. Because I'm a Nazirite, and I have set my mind on things above, and I'm set apart. All the things, you know. So I did get up and write and scribbled things that he was telling me. And I want to share some of those things with you. Because I think they're cool when God talks. So I'm going to put this thing over here, only because I can. By the way, God blessed us with some new furniture before we went on the trip. And just for, you know, our carpeting that has been so soiled because really of that literal hundreds who've been through our house, you know, for Bible study over countless years, shows up even worse. And I went, another word picture, another lesson. You know, the new is coming in, and the old is really exaggerated. It's like, wow, thanks, God. But I would like to get new carpeting. You know, it's looking bad. But it's coming, because I have a good God. We have a good God. Thank you, Jesus. But let me just tell you what he shared with me, which I think will bless you. I hope, anyway. Well, first of all, Cynthia ended her message last week with Daddy Rock My World and the fierce love of God and, you know, such. And I felt that I asked God, what are you doing? And I don't have time to listen, it seems. I'm trying. I've been trying to listen to as many messages when we're gone overseas as I can. But the Lord compelled me to listen to this one for today specifically, and then some I've been trying to as well, and so that's what I've been doing. And what the Lord told me was that God was, he was doing house cleaning, you know, he's kind of spring cleaning, and he was saying also, I you know, you're, many of you are business people, you know what it's like when you take inventory, you're just kind of checking things and seeing what you have, what you don't have. And God was saying, kiddies, I am ready to do something new, and I just really want to speak to you about some things that get in the way. And it's just so loving. Sometimes it doesn't feel it, but it's so loving when our daddy does that, because he's so, so good, and he's so kind and loving. But if we don't listen and really allow the captain conviction, we used to call him, you know, back in the day in our mission trips, we had kind of a joke there. Here comes Captain Conviction. With the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to rise up and just say, you know, remember that relationship from, you know, 2 years ago or 50 years ago, you know, whatever your life is. Remember that? I'm speaking into that. It's like, wow. Because God's doing such a new thing. And Daniel, such a good example of someone who just said, sorry, God, sorry, guys. I really don't want to defile myself in any way. That's what he said. It was about eating, you know, the king's food and such. But Daniel was consecrated, and that's a whole other story I'll tell you about Nazarites later. But Daniel did not want to agree with the king, the natural king. He wanted to agree with the king. He didn't want to agree with the daddy in the palace. He wanted to agree with the daddy, the big daddy. Okay? And so, because he had already made up his mind, heavenly wisdom was given to him of how to do that. Not worldly wisdom, not human wisdom, not his opinion. If he would have relied on his opinion or what he thought or what how he evaluated things, he'd probably be dead and not in the Bible, you know, in a lot of places. I don't know. The king was really, he was pretty strong about people doing what he said. But God gave him an amazing plan because, you know, the kingdom strategy from heaven, God's strategy is always so good. And God wants to teach us about that because he doesn't want us to, you know, stumble. Bible tells us, if you do this, you won't stumble. You know, it's great for a list. It's like, okay, I'll do this and this and this and this and I won't stumble. Then we stumble and go, what the heck? Does your Bible not work or what? You know, and of course he is not a it. And of course it works. He works always. So it's just, you know, we want to find out, Lord, what are your keys to living? What are your keys to revival? What are your keys to the Nazarite flame just burning so brightly that everybody who's around me will see it? You know? And I'll tell you what, the enemy wants to try to sniff it out, and he wants to try to trip you up and make mistakes and do stupid things, and we all do that. Hello? Thank God for repentance, right? And thank God for his covering over us. Because he really is so loving and kind, unlike many of us. I'm right there, because I'm human. But I'm learning. When we were in Ghana this year, God gave us a theme for the Bible school, for the pastors and leaders, and it was called, What Does Love Look Like? What does love look like? So everything we preached and taught and acted out and all that, back to what does love look like up at the top of every, you know, whiteboard that we had. It used to be chalkboard, but whiteboard, thank you. I think Darlene or somebody got that. And what does love look like? What does it really look like? If we have an opinion of what love looks like and it's not God's opinion, we miss it. It's like, oh, I missed that one. I really don't know what his love looks like. It's what I feel. It's what I think. So it makes sense to me. It's what I reason in my heart. So that's love. But you know, we can't fool God. And he loves us so much, he won't let us get away with it. So he will help us get that lesson. And I believe last week was kind of a nice loving boot. But it's only a message to be delivered. And then God says, what will you do with it? You know, and today we're speaking about his love so that you can listen to the message again. Maybe. I don't know. Think about it. But when I was getting this from God, he woke me up and he said, he was telling me what judgment was and wasn't. And we were talking about it together. And I was like, wow, thanks. Right now, I need to know this. Okay, well, that's good. I need to know, but I'll write it down. And he says, here's what it is. Judgment is what you think you see. And that's before God took me, I'm familiar with Isaiah 11, but that's before he took me to Isaiah 11, 1 through 3. You know, this week again. But that's what judgment is. It's like, what? Judgment is, it's what you think you see. What you think you see. And God knows our components. He knows how we're made up. And he knows the very thing that will distort what he wants to give as his good report. What makes perfect sense to us, what is, I guess, from God's perspective, okay? He knows what will change it. So one thing that he might be trying to say comes down into us, and then it just kind of gets stuck in a little maze of blah. And what we need to do is get that blah out so that we are hearing more accurately, and it's not our opinion. Last week it was called an unsubmitted opinion. What it seems right to do, let's do it. Let's take that mountain. But you see, as a Nazarite, as a person with a Nazarite heart and that flame, God is saying, you're not going to be able to afford to live that way. You will not be able to afford to live that way. You will not be able to afford. You will not, this is what's coming, you will not be able, excuse me, to do well. You will not do well if you allow anything other than my thoughts becoming your thoughts, which means your opinion on anything needs to be submitted and needs to go through my holy grid. It needs to go through my grid of purity. It needs to. And if it doesn't, you will have an unholy thought. You will have an unsubmitted thought. And because you love Jesus, you love God, you want to do cool things for God, you'll do some things, but you won't reach your potential, and you'll probably be involved in getting in the slow line, you know? It's kind of like we all want to be in the fast line checking out. That's the one I want, but we'll end up being in the slow line. And God says, there is no slow line for my remnant of holy, radical, crazy believers. Are you waving to me? Oh, Isabella. Okay, well, that's priority. That's no problem. That's good. So, I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it made sense to me. What you think you see but isn't. That's what he told me. What you think you see but isn't. And I said, well, Lord, what are you trying to say? He says, well, I'm going to paint a picture here of what human wisdom really looks like. Yeah. It's like, oh, good. So I'm trying to write this down at 6 in the morning. And he says, this is a message I believe for all of us. It's for me, it's for you, it's for all of us. He says, release it before it grabs hold of you. It's like, wow, that is good. Could have put that one with last week. But I really believe God was saying, release, 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 release. That means before it grabs hold, which means it's coming around, nipping at our heels. And maybe for some, it has grabbed us. I don't know. It's between you and God. But God is telling us, release before it grabs hold of you. Because when it grabs hold, it becomes a strong hold. When it grabs hold, it becomes stronger because it holds you and becomes a stronghold and needs to go. I thought that was kind of simple. Because God's, you know, I'm simple. So God says, let me make it clear. This is the message I want you to give when it's time. Like, oh, good. Thank you. And what about me? He says, check your life first, of course. And that's what I've been doing. I've been sitting in my chair, staring out, talking to the Lord, going through my entire life again. I do this all the time. But, you know, Captain Conviction, Holy Spirit, Spirit of counsel, wisdom, power, might, and fear of the Lord was all over me, reminding me, hey, you and Pastor Bill are leaders here. What do you think about all those questions? It's like, great, have at me. I love to repent. I really do. I think I do. And if I don't, I need to. But I want to because it's so great. It's so freeing. It's so cleansing. It's like, wow, missed it on that one. Got that one. God, I want to be your Nazarite girl. He's not looking at our age, people. He's saying, I am gathering my Nazarites from the north and the south and the east and the west. And I'm going to do great and mighty exploits. And it's going to take my power. And you need my power to move freely. And you need holy thoughts. And you need thoughts that are submitted to me. You cannot have these things ruling in any way, shape, or form. That's the past. That's for normal Christianity, and that's not you. Good enough for me. I got that one. But this is what we want to drive home, focus group leaders, and all of our focus groups. Please, listen to the message again together. What a great idea. Because we want a company of Nazarite hearts in this place. In every capacity, every way. It's really significant. You know, one thing that was said last week is that this is a real serious time, and I told you I love hearing that because it makes me smile. Because whenever God's really serious, that means, wow, he's showing up to do a new thing. So this, he's really moving. Big time. It should shake you to the bone. It should rattle your heart. I want these little peeps. I want them up here prophesying in this microphone. Soon and very soon. Are you catching that? I want our kingdom kids to be so lit on fire that they're leading the brigade in this community and overseas. Don't just make that a wish. Walk in it. Grab it for you. Talk to your children. Raise them up. We're doing what we can do. We're trying. And we want to expand this, you know, that everybody's connected in somewhere, somehow. That's our desire. So you can talk these things over. Get some freedom. You know, say, yes, Lord, that's me. That's what I want. That's who I am. And last night was a blur. Last night wasn't good. It's over. It's under the blood. Thank you for another measure of freedom. See? But I'm going for it, and I'm not stopping until your love in me compels me and controls me. Bible actually says that. Do you believe me on that? Let's look at it and see. Where is it? 2 Corinthians 5. You got to see this, because I want to be controlled by love. You betcha, baby. That is where I want to live. 2 Corinthians, hope I got the right one. I think so. 2 Corinthians 5, here it is, verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us. Put that somewhere good. The love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. Okay, that's the kind of love I want moving through me. I want to be so controlled by love that every person who's around me can see it. They can feel it. They know that the spirit of the fear of the Lord has captured my heart and runs through me. And if they don't feel that and they're not shaken inside, something's not happening. It's so, so wonderful, isn't it? A scripture that says we're controlled by love. How cool is that? Love controls us. Thank you. Thank you. I'll be a slave to love. I'll be so hooked that I can't do anything else. Yes. Oh, that's why I was designed, or how I was designed. That's what God says. You want wisdom from above? You want supernatural kingdom wisdom? God, what do I do? Oh, I know. James 1:5 says, go to God, get wisdom. He gives it liberally. Okay, all right, all right. My life's a mess, but I'm going to James 1:5. Give me that. Okay. Okay, so there's a release of wisdom, but it gets stuck somewhere in our gunk. You know? It's like, no. The Lord's saying, clear the pipes, baby. I want you to have free-flowing access. You do. I see you that way, but I so want you not to be moved by what you see. I want you to have my kingdom opinion, which will render you opinionless. I'm telling you, I'm not there. I'm moving, but it's changing me. Thank you. Boy, do I need it. Okay, so let me tell you what else he said to me. Hey, can I get? I gotta fix these. Just a second. Alrighty then. Okay. So judgment is what you think you see, but isn't. It's human wisdom. Release it before it gets hold of you. It grabs hold of you. The byproduct will be humility, because it has to go through the spirit test. Well, that was nice. Okay. And then he spoke these three things to me. He said, fear of God demands it, heavenly wisdom requires it, and true humility embraces it. I couldn't write that down that fast. I couldn't even think that fast at 6 in the morning. Let me say it again. Fear of God demands it. What does that say? Heavenly wisdom requires it. True humility embraces it. Wow. One more time. Fear of God demands it. Heavenly wisdom requires it. And true humility embraces it. So, you know, one thing that we were teaching all summer in Ghana, we taught a lot about love and imparted and released love and helped people get free of fear. Because the opposite of love is fear. When things aren't going right, fear's involved somewhere, somehow. It's a lurking little devil enemy that hates us. It's not just, these are my circumstances. Because with a heavenly, calm, peaceful, joyful, I'm rolling with you, Holy Ghost mindset, fear doesn't hang out and live. So fear looks a certain way. Fear acts a certain way. Fear has a certain persona. It really does. And whenever we think, I've got this down, you know, it's fear of rejection. That's what it is. Okay, who's rejected me? And we stop there. That's nice. That's beginning. That's Christianity 101. God is saying, let's go deeper here. You want that Nazarite flame? We got to get rid of this. This fear deal is what allows the enemy to come and continue to mess with us. Because God loves us so much, He says, I know she's speaking a lot. She's going on this fear message thing, and I guess I'll just go up and say, Lord, get the fear out of me. No. We're going to talk about the fear of God being the beginning of wisdom, because we want heavenly wisdom from above. We want God's opinion on everything. We want divine, heavenly wisdom. We don't want to get muddled up at James 1:5 and just say, well, I prayed it, what's up? Okay, it makes sense to me, that's what I'm doing. And there might be no God in it, no spirit in it, no honor in it, nothing but flesh. Hey, how do we know? The Lord's saying, I want to challenge you today through this message and many others, I'm sure, you know, about the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Is that burning brightly? If you're carrying this flame, you know it. I'm telling you. But the good news is that God wants others around you to know it. He really does. Why? Okay. Simple. God says to us, He says, I want you to obey me. I want you to treasure my commands. In Proverbs, He tells us that. In other places, too. I'll read it to you in a minute. Are you treasuring my commands? Well, what are your commands? I know, be a good mom, be a good dad, be a good steward, give your monies, give your tithes, try to obey. No, that's not what He's talking about. He's saying, if you know Luke 10:27, you know, I think it's been mentioned here a few dozen, hundred times. Or Mark 12:30-31. If you're writing these down, write them down. It's really good stuff. Okay? Mark 12:30-31. Luke 10:27. Or get the tape. Listen to it again. Think about it. He's saying, you shall love me. Oh, really? Can you imagine going up to your child? Spiritual child, you shall love me. Yes, ma'am, yeah. You shall. Alrighty then. I don't get this. What do you mean you shall love me? You shall. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And in Mark chapter 12, he says, it's the foremost commandment. Foremost. Oh, numero uno. Gotcha. Okay. And then number two is love your neighbor as yourself. As yourself. Everybody likes hanging on number two because everybody wants to be loved. But number two flows out of number one. Because if you don't have this type of love deal going on with God, you cannot love yourself. And you cannot then love others through that love of yourself that God has given you because you're in love with Him. Huh? It's the upside down kingdom. Upside down kingdom. So you shall love me. You shall. You were created for the shall.
Hello?
I'm not very good at that. I'm going to stick it on. Yeah. I'm hooked up. Can you hear me now? Okay. All right, that's good. Okay, so, you shall love me. Do you know that if you're walking with the spirit of the fear of the Lord?
Do you know that?
Thank you. Should I use this thing? And then I'm okay, and then turn me off here? Okay. But oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Modern day gizmos, Africa, and none of this. Well, that's not true. We do have one of these. But if you're walking with the spirit of the fear of the Lord, you're going to recognize when fear or judgment is rising up in another person. Why? Because you're so holy? No, because you have been consumed in an area where you can recognize the opposite spirit. God wants us to recognize the opposite spirit. Why? Because we have to be able to know how to combat something that's coming against us that is not heavenly wisdom. Human wisdom is a very big deal to God. He doesn't like it. He hates it, spews it out of his mouth, and he's saying, it just has no place in my kingdom. There's no life in it. There's no spirit in it. And we can't walk in human wisdom with what makes sense to us. If we do that, then we open ourselves up to going down a bunny trail. And that bunny trail, when you're stepping out saying, I'm a Nazarite, it can be very costly. And it can hurt people, yourself, others, and God is saying, I'm speaking to you, speaking to me. He's speaking. He's saying, I am no respecter of persons. This is what I have for you guys, and I just don't want you to get caught up. I want you to listen. I want you to listen. It's like, okay, talk to me, Daddy. So, let me tell you what else I heard. Thank you, Jesus. Oh. You can feel the spirit of the fear of the Lord when someone's walking with that. And you can also feel the spirit of fear or when fear is moving. It's really, really true. In 2 Corinthians 5:11, the Bible says, you can write that down. It says, you will know the fear of the Lord. You will know. The fear of the Lord is a spirit. Fear of the Lord is a place that you live. I have reverence, respect. Oh, I'm consecrated. I'm totally overwhelmed. I'm consumed by your love. I'm overwhelmed by your goodness. Oh, God, I invite you to capture me that way. It's the spirit of God. And he's the kingdom of God lives within us. But God is saying the spirit of the fear of the Lord, contend for that kind of living. Things will change. You'll interpret your visions and your dreams and your words differently. Let me tell you. Because when there's fear hooking on the inside, that can cloud what you think you are seeing and what you think you're hearing. And we don't want any counterfeit malarkey, and we don't want any counterfeit intimacy. No counterfeit intimacy, because it's not intimacy. No counterfeit anything. Okay? Do you think a little band of crazy marauders in the spirit for Jesus in a good way? Do you think we could change the world? Yes. Do you think the flame of fire that I'm talking about, that if it was allowed to be caught, if we all said, I'm a Daniel, this is who I am, you know, do you think things could change? If we see something as holy or unholy, everything, every decision we make needs to go through that grid. Is it holy or unholy? What do you say, God? Well, I know I need the money. I know I need to this. I know. But what do you say? If it's an unsubmitted opinion or it's what you think and you reason, you can invite slime all over you and not even know it. And the slime can show up next week, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, because the spots over time took a lot of time on our carpet, like 14 years of dumping Cokes or whatever. I'm telling you, but when you look at this, especially as the new is coming in, it's like, oh, well, let me vacuum that again. Serious. God is saying, I'm turning the light bulbs on. Pay attention. Pay attention. Your worship leading will be different. Your focus group leading will be different. Your relationship with your mate, if you have one, will be different because you will be changing. Your children will see a change. May not get too pretty for a while, but that's okay, because God is saying, my spirit must be the one that burns brightly here. And wherever it has not, you need to really repent. Wherever it has not, go back over your world in recent days, months, years, and be honest before God. I was ugly, and I probably contributed to the mess. Oh my gosh, that hurts, but it's freeing. Because when we come to God, he just says, I know, honey, I was there, I know. Wow. So what are you going to do about it? How are you going to clean that up? And some things you clean right up with Daddy, and that's good. And that's all you need to do. Other things require something else. Depends what he's really saying. Because he's all about the kingdom. And he wants people to be free. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I was just writing a few things down about human wisdom. Judgment spills in, and we can call it human wisdom as well. And I just want to throw a few things out to you to think about. Human wisdom or judgment coming out, or unsubmitted opinion, or this is what I think. It's not able to, and doesn't easily render mercy. It cannot. Because mercy is stifled when this is in operation. And we need to see that and need to ask God, where am I not able to display what mercy is from your perspective? Where, Lord? Mercy. I don't know what mercy is. We need to find that out. What does mercy really look like? But write it down and think about it. What does mercy really look like? People have shown us in the last 2 weeks a lot of mercy. Mercy, you know, just merciful living and loving and caring and just falling all over us and saying, how are you guys? What do you need? You know, just like kindness. This has blown my mind this last 2 weeks. And thank you very, very much. But judgment also justifies. Okay? You might not hear the Lord's response, as I was saying before. You may not hear the Lord's response, even though he's wanting to give it, because a justification inside makes sense to us, but it may not be the kingdom word. You need a kingdom word. You really do. So you don't enter into human wisdom at all. You don't want human wisdom. That's a scary place to be. Human wisdom is not a good place to be. Judgment prides itself on what seems reasonable and sticks to it. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is what I think. This is what I feel. It's like, well, you know, we're supposed to be assertive in the Spirit. All that means is we go to the Holy Spirit, we go to the kingdom of God and say, what do you say about it? Period. And then we can assert away, but it's always in a very kind, gentle way, even when the words are strong. But There's a difference. There's a different spirit. If judgment has any peace attached to it, it will hold no power, no weight, but it will create friction. How do you know the difference? You are walking, when you're walking with the spirit of the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says, okay? Fear of God, fear of the Lord is the beginning of heavenly wisdom. Beginning! God says that you'll know. You'll have an idea of what that really looks like. You really need to do an assessment. It's a good place to be. And consistently do that. We clean our houses all the time. Why don't we check up on these things and see if something has sneaked in? It's a good idea. But the thing is that we can get to a place where the sneaker is just, he's so obvious. You're so in love with the original that you can spot the counterfeit. You really can. It's not just a bunch of words like, oh, everybody's nodding, going, good, Mary Pat, good word. But for real, I mean, that the God's love is just so consuming and gripping that you're different when you're at home, when you're at work, when you're thinking about the privilege of leading worship or whatever it would be. It's different. It's like, oh, I'm consumed by love. I'm compelled. I'm controlled. I'm moved. I'm in love. Oh my gosh. This is nuts. Who came up with this? You can't help it. It's something God has designed. That's what he's got. That's the living flame. That's the living flame. That's the living flame. That's the Nazarite heart. That's what he's saying. He's saying, agree with me. Dump the mess. And I'll help you clean it up. But stay with me on board. It's so great. It's so wonderful. It's so mighty. It's so powerful. And when I tell you to be quiet, you'll be quiet. When I tell you to stop doing things, you will. When I tell you to rest, you will. You'll stop the bus and hear what he's saying. If you're not hearing, you can be on a treadmill of life that's just not fun. And then blame. Blaming is also part of it. Judgment or human wisdom feels much safer way to live, but it really isn't. It's not safe. It always disappoints, and it sets us up for hurt because we want everything. Oh, I want it all, Lord. I want it all. I want it all. I'll go up for prayer today and get it all. Next week, I'll go up for prayer and get more, and I'll go up for prayer and get more. God is saying, well, so what are you living like at home? What's happening at home? What's going on in your world in the car? What's happening? So when you come in to a corporate meeting, you've got heavenly wisdom coming down, and you're not making mistakes that can bring hurt or pain. You're not entering into human wisdom. God is saying, that's where I want to take you. Heavenly wisdom. Spirit of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of heavenly wisdom. It's like, Lord, what happened? How did that go? Oh, I'm just human. No. God is saying, I'm actually going to set you up to ride this wave of fantastic, bolted, lightning type of love where you'll know what to do. That's where I want to be. So I want to be. Okay. Almost finished here. This is so, isn't this good? Yes, Lord. Hey. This is what I also wrote down. This is when we first got back from Ghana. If I have any opinion, I want it to be a spiritual opinion where godly wisdom flows, which renders me opinionless. Let me read that to you again. It's a really good word. If I have any opinion, I want it to be a spiritual, from God, opinion where godly wisdom flows, which renders me opinionless. What's the kingdom perspective? That's what it means, really, to be opinionless. You don't have to freak out and go, what do you mean? I don't care what I think. I can't even think. I mean, I have to be a robot controllable. That's not the kingdom. That's not the message. Message is, hear from heaven. Be sure it's heaven before you open your mouth. And I'm learning that more. I open my mouth and go, why did I say that? Because I didn't go to heaven. I did not rely on heavenly wisdom. I didn't. Just was Mary Pat's wisdom. Made sense to me. But God said, honey, that wasn't me. And see, with the spirit of the fear of the Lord, it's like, oh, yuck, blah. You don't want that inside. You don't want that. You don't want to operate that way. You don't want to think that way. You don't want to feel that way. It's like, how'd that get in there? Stomp on that. Boom. Out. You're out of the pool. Boom. Take a five. You know, it's just like, no way. Not in this woman. Not on my watch. Not in this world. It's a heart decision God is saying. You know, if somebody came to you and said, you know, I'm sensing there's some rub with you, are you going to let your back go up and go, I'm fine, leave me alone? Or are you going to say, well, so what are you talking about? Can we pray about that? What's up? See, spirit of the fear of the Lord renders and produces, I should say, the byproduct is great humility. Where it's like, talk to me. Now, if you're talking to the guy in the bar stool next to you, that's probably not a good thing. Oh, but God can use anybody. I really want to hear through heavenly ears. It's true. God can. And he has spoken to me through, you know, people that, it's like, where'd you get that? Why? Because the spirit of the fear of the Lord inside was going, that's me. But we really need to hear that. So typically, you know, I want to connect with those who are wanting to connect with heavenly wisdom, who want to say, Lord, the flame of the spirit of the fear of the Lord is burning in me. Human wisdom, 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things we also spoke, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Oh, this is good. This is really, really good. Am I treasuring your commands? You know, there's a song I really like, and I think it's called Arms Wide Open, or Arms Open Wide. Yeah, if we can pull it up, we're gonna listen to it at the very end here. If you guys know where it is, it would be really cool. I just listened to it. I was listening to it last night when I was just thinking about the Lord, and I was reading the Bible. I love reading the Bible, and it was on because we have this soaking thing going. And I just dropped what I was doing, and I went into the family room, and I just got down on my knees with my arms stretched up. It's like, nothing is more important than this right now, because you're here. And you're invading my heart. Phone, you better not ring because I'm not answering you. You know? Just that gripping, huh. This is from The Message, and this is Proverbs 9:10. And it says, skilled living gets its start in the fear of God. Insight into life from knowing a holy God. Amplified version reads, the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning, the chief and choice part of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight and understanding. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Thank you, Jesus. And there are many scriptures, Proverbs 1:7, speaks about the fear of the Lord as the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so this word that I'm giving, it's like, Lord, if I'm not receiving it myself, I'm just a fool. And it's not a fool for Christ. It's a fool. It's like, Lord, this, I want to hear what you're saying, and I really want to go there, whatever it is. And I want it to affect my daily life, however that's going to be. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to read all of this. Just I highlighted a few things to end with here that I thought would bless you. Proverbs 3:7-10 is also awesome. I remember teaching a lot of these a couple years back in Mozambique in Mashava. Remember that? And it was really strong in my heart back then. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. But the Lord said, drive it home today, honey. I said, okay, I will. Proverbs 3:7-10. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't be a wise guy. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh, strength to your bones. Oh, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Thank you, Lord. Amplified reads, don't be wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord and entirely turn away from anything that's not godly. It shall be health to your nerves and sinews. I need that. And marrow and moistening to your bones. And it goes on to talk about what God will do as a result. Our storehouses will be plenty. Do not be wise in your own eyes, Nasby said. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil, and it will be healing to your body, refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Thank you, Lord. And winding down here, James 3:13-18, I remember teaching this. It was so strong on my heart in an airport coming back from one of our trips. And this verse here, this passage was just, bam, like a lightning rod. Some got it, some didn't, in my opinion. And I believe that was a submitted opinion. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your heart, means you might not see it, do not be arrogant and lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it's earthly, natural, and demonic. Is that strong or what? Did you want to write that down? James 3:13-18. That wisdom is not from above, that which comes down, but it's earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But, I always like the good news, but the wisdom from above is first pure. Oh, you mean like an opinion that's submitted through your grid of purity, God? Is that what you mean? Yes. Ah, okay, thanks. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Thank you, Lord. And that's, you know, just to finish up that in the message for the same passage, it says, you know, do you want to be counted wise to build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live, not what you say or way you talk that counts. Mean-spirited ambition, that's not wisdom. Boasting that you are wise, that's not wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise, not wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. God says it's animal cunning, devilish conniving. Ew. Whenever you're trying to look better than others, can you get that? I mean, that's something we can relate to. Because, you know, it's like this other stuff. Forget that, right? But we want to look better than others. You know what God says that looks like from heaven? It says when you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at each other's throat. But real wisdom, God's heavenly wisdom, begins with a holy life, Nazarite living, and is characterized by getting along with others. It's gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessing. Not hot one day, cold the next. Not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with honor and dignity. Isn't that so good? Thank you, Lord. He calls us wise and intelligent if we seek after wisdom this way. He says, you don't want any of this other stuff, for wherever it is, there will be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. It's like, have I been part of the problem in any way? Or am I part of the solution? We really need to examine these things. And true, humble repentance before God will break yokes over us and our kids and our grandkids and our parents and our co-workers and all the people around us. It's not hard. It's just, what are we willing? It's really not hard. The devil says it'll take you 20 years. You've got to talk to Cynthia for 5,000 days. It's not true. God says it's not hard. I'm just looking for it. Do you have the Daniel heart? Or are you laden with fear? Are you going to let fear rule you? I died for fear. Fear doesn't hold you anymore unless you want it to. I set you free from the spirit of slavery. I set you free from the spirit of fear at the cross. I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but I gave you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I gave that all to you. Fear has no dominion there, but if it's hooked you somewhere, I can help you toss it out and give it a big kick. But let me tell you what it really is, so you don't pride yourself thinking you just got it. You know, I'll just do a few more really Christian things and keep the rest of my world in order. And God's saying, honey, you'll have to take the test again. Don't take it. Do it now. I'm cleaning house right now. It's a good place. Good time. I love that about God. He's just so darn kind. So as we listen to this song, you don't have to come up. Just close your eyes and listen to it. And this is when, you know, you shall love me is God's command. And he's saying this. And then we're just going to end. And, you know, we'll pray for anybody who needs prayer, for sure. You know, not minimizing that. But just let him soak in. Let every word that's been said soak into you. Say, Lord, I'm going for it. And maybe I backed up a bit. Maybe I've had some stuff inside or whatever. I'm going up a deeper way. Okay, now Proverbs 2. I'm going to read this because you need it. Proverbs 2, 1 through 10. Listen carefully. You can close your eyes and even listen to this. Who wants to hear it from the heart? Okay, listen really, really carefully because it's God's holy word. Here we go. I love this. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, do not fear. Do not fear. Command, do not fear. I love you. You shall love me. I command this because you're a slave of righteousness. You're a slave of love. You're my child that I adore. I have designed you to hook into my heart this way. I'm commanding you. That means I'm able to hold you up and make it happen in you. Okay? As you treasure my commands within you, I'm reading now the word, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her, which is wisdom, as silver, and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, and you will find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, as we listen to these words that are being sung, Lord, that we would seek you and wisdom as hidden treasure, and that, Father, we would treasure your commands within and see them as love, as a safety net, and that, Father, we would not stop at anything at all to allow you to undo anything that's hurt us, that's come against us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Choose to treasure today and receive your words, because then we will discern The fear of the Lord will set our hearts on a life of understanding. You say in your word, if we make your insight our priority, and we won't take no for an answer, that we will search for wisdom like a prospector, panning for gold, like an adventurer on a treasure hunt. Fear of God will be yours, and you will come upon the knowledge of God. He's a rich mine of common sense for those who will hear this. So, Lord, arms wide open to you, we just receive this impartation. Thank you for the challenge in the Spirit. Thank you for setting us free and enlightening us today. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and a release from what judgment really looks like, or beginning to at least open our eyes to question what that looks like. And if you haven't been in here for the whole thing, I would exhort you to listen to this again for your sake, or to be blessed. Can you turn it on? Really, turn it up. Urges and impels us, because we are of the opinion and the conviction that if one died for all, then all died. Lord, our declaration before you today, our decisions today, Lord, I believe are many. And I believe that you've answered many hearts' cries today. And I believe, Lord God, that we are on a path and a journey to allow anything to be exposed in us that would hinder your love from just permeating our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, that we would be honest before you and allow you to show us what human wisdom has looked like, what judgment has really looked like. Maybe simple words and actions, maybe bigger things. Maybe a lifestyle, maybe just a complete non-understanding of what that has been. I thank you, Lord, for the fear, the spirit of the fear of the Lord being something that we would contend for in greater capacity and measure. Lord, that we would walk with that Nazarite heart and believe, Lord God, that your consuming fire, as we sang today, is big enough and is more than enough to carry us, to enable us this week. But Lord, that we would not dismiss these words from your holy scriptures. We just thank you, Lord, that we want to be those who are compelled by love. And Lord, that we would allow any mess that has come our way with the intention from the dark side to hurt us, to steal from us, to destroy, or to pull away in any way, shape, or form anything that you intended as a blessing. Lord, we surrender. We come before you right now, and we allow you just to show that to us, knowing that we are dearly cherished by you. Lord, would you start unraveling the places that have never been unraveled before? Would you start touching the places that were safe before we thought to us? Lord, we really want to be that sweet-smelling aroma as you see us from your kingdom perspective, but we want that to grip our hearts so that our children see it, our spouses see it, our relatives see it, and everybody else, Lord, around us. So we will really learn that we shall love because you first loved us, and we'll grow deeper in that love.
Just want to remind you that this week is our fasting week for July, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Friday night we do have a all-night watch of the Lord. And I would ask that you would seek the Lord from a heavenly perspective, refusing any human wisdom, what God would have you do. Really. And in every other area of your life. Be blessed, be strengthened, be encouraged, be overwhelmed with His goodness, because He's the kindest person that's ever lived. Amen. God bless you. If anybody needs or would like to agree in prayer about anything up here, I'll be up here for a while. Chris?
There's also a party time, so if you're part of that, grab your lunch and be back by 2:30? 2:30. Thank you.
Exodus class, woo. We still have three more classes. Who's excited?